I want you to turn to somebody and say, you can begin again. This is just one of those days where I was praying and just asking God just to, like Pastor Keith said, I just want to just empty out. That I just pray that you will sense God's glory in this place, that everything you do, you give him credit for. I'm just a conduit. That's all I am. I'm at the best conduit. Just if something come in, bam, boom, like that. That's it. Of course, the pipe does sometimes get a little action. And if you're a plumber, you really need some good plumbing. So so I don't mind, you know, trying to get my plumbing, trying to be as tight, cool as I can be so stuff can come through, you know, freely. But I'm saying all the credit goes to the Lord. All the credit goes to the Lord. Now, as far as how we can get our pipe to be a little better, a little cleaner, without so much corrosion, I believe that we have to think of beginning again and not disaster stuff. We have to say, Lord, I can begin again. Because the enemy's job is to try to keep us from trying to get back up. Because we're going to fall. Now, we're going to have some issues, okay? But the Lord is saying, it's Proverbs 24:16 says, a righteous man may fall 7 times. But he rises again. And I love the ERV version. It says, good people may fall again and again, but they always get up. It is the wicked who are defeated by their troubles. And that's something. That's just a good assurance to know that God wants us to get back up. Now, there's 3 areas. I'm going to give these 3 to you. I'm trying to do best I can to keep us timely. But I want you to have something. If you can write these 3 things down, that'd be great. It's got scriptures that go along with it. I'm going to give you kind of the scripture, and then I'm going to give you a story. Jesus loved giving, you know, pictorial type things when he was talking. He'd always have some picture or some story or some analogy. So I think, and a lot of us love TV, so it's kind of like that. We're kind of, you know, we love visual things. And I'm just getting this from our Lord. Our Lord loved to tell stories, and he really tried to help people relate. So this is our scripture for today. It's Psalms 23, what we just sung. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. That is the base of these 3 things that I'm going to share with you. So these are the 3. We're going to start off with the first one. The first one is that you can begin again spiritually. The Lord is my shepherd. So you just have to remember that he is the shepherd. He is the one that says you can begin again spiritually. And any of the great ball teams, they all have great coaches. That's why they win a lot. The winning teams have great coaches. Not to say that the players aren't good. Players are good, too. But you really need somebody to organize things for you. And that's what Jesus does for us. He is our coach. That's what shepherd can be translated. He's the good coach, man, because he gave us this playbook. Well, we got a playbook that's out of this world, boy. I'm telling you. Every time I go in, I see a new play. It's like, wow, I didn't know that was in there. So, you know, so he's got the playbook, and it is the lamp to our feet. That Bible is a lamp to our feet. It is for all the little small stuff in our life. And it is a light to our path. All the things for the future, that Bible covers it. So the Lord is our shepherd. You can begin again spiritually. And I think about the prodigal son. I think he's probably the best example. I can see him taking all his dad's money, going to Vegas, you know, and probably, I don't know, putting it on red or black. I don't know what he did. But it was, before you know, it was all gone. And the next day, you know, he had to go feed pigs just to live. And evidently, the pig's food looked good to him. So he pushed Porky and Petunia out the way and went, got him some. But right in the middle of that, he said, My daddy would probably forgive me, because even the servants at my daddy's house, they treat it better than this. I think I'm going to go home. Because that's really, his daddy was like the shepherd. And he got lost for a little while. But when he ran up the road, his daddy saw him and said, oh, the son of mine was dead. Now he's alive. He was lost. Now he's found. So that's how our Father looks at us. When we slip, make mistakes, fall down, have issues. It ain't like your girlfriend. Huh? It ain't like that brother you hang out with that's just so negative all the time. God ain't nothing like that. He is a forgiving God, full of grace, full of mercy. You can always, if you fall over and over and over again. Now, I'm not saying that you won't pay the price for some of the stuff you do. Now, he's going to forgive you for your sin. You may have to some ramifications and some stuff. You know, you start, you know, going beating up people, all that kind of stuff. You may end up getting a restraining order or in jail. Okay? But God said, if you just go to him and say, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, he will forgive you. And you can begin a new life. I know it because I didn't even think I was savable. You know, because when you join a group like Santana, you feel it's weird, man. It's a weird feeling. They're giving you money and you flying first class everywhere and they're picking you up in limos. And, you know, you don't even have to sweat till you get on stage. You know, so, and that's on a little bit of sweat. Somebody's there to wipe your sweat. You know, so it's really a crazy, crazy life out there in the rock and roll. And I just said, Lord, there's no way I could be saved out here in this kind of stuff. What? And I had a girlfriend in the day, and her brother was a Christian. So every time I come to the house to see her, here come the brother. The Lord wants you to be saved. I say, man, look, I just joined the Santana group. I'm already saved. He said, well, temporal things should pass away. I said, you have to take cool for right now. And I gave him a bad time. Didn't care if I came in the front door, back door, underneath the house in San Francisco. You can go underneath the house and go to the back. There he is, like a butler. So I just said, well, I'm going to go to a Bible study because I figured if I go to this Bible study, maybe I can learn some scripture. So when I came up to the house, I could just quote him some scripture, step around him and go see his sister, you know. That didn't work. Man, we got to this Bible study. They went up me one side and down the other. And I said, okay, well, that was a very good meeting. I really learned a lot in that Bible study. I didn't tell my friend Richard that, but I told him, I said, you know, in my heart, I'm just feeling like, man, that was good stuff. And we got back to the driveway. And by the time we got back to the driveway, it kind of had wore off a little bit or something. And I'm thinking, okay, well, let's just go in the house and go see the sister or whatever. And he said, well, how'd you like the meeting? I said, the meeting was fine. I said, let's go in the house. He said, wait. I said, what? He said, how would you like to be saved? I said, like right here in the car? He said, yeah, you can save right here in the car. Right here in the car, I can save. Yeah. I said, this is too much, man. This is too much. So, I mean, I knew from Sunday school, put your hands together like this. I didn't have no problem with it. I just didn't know what God was going to do in my life. So I put my hands together like this, and I felt his hand coming up my arm. And I said, hey. I said, what you doing, man? He said, well, as Christians, we hold hands when we pray. Now, see, this is San Francisco. So I'm trying to be nice. So I let him grab my wrist. I said, come on. I said, come on, let's pray. I got my eyes open like this. I said, come on. And he said, the Lord. I said, and the Lord. And Jesus, come into my life and change my life. And it's funny, even though we're in this funny position that we're going back and forth like this, the Lord still forgave my sins. I felt it, all that stuff leave off. I jumped out the car, I felt like the old tornado, but what a feeling, you know, I was like, you know. And I went in the house, started writing songs on his, he had a piano that didn't have many strings, Pastor Keith. Jay, all out of tune. And God is still somehow, songs are coming. But all I'm saying is that I have been on a lot of highs in my life, but I have not found a high higher than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. So you can begin again. Turn to somebody and say, you can begin again. Okay, so the Lord is your shepherd. You can begin again spiritually. I shall not want. Or in another version says, shall not be in want. So the first thing that popped up for me was finances. I said, wow, you could begin again financially? I said, oh, that's real cool, Lord, I like that. And that's exactly what the second one is. You can begin again financially.
You said, well, brother, you just don't understand. I had this job and, you know, they hired two young people and they kicked me out of my job. They're paying them less money and now I have no job.
Well, Maybe God's got a better job for you. Something better. Huh? Some place where you're celebrated. Not where you're tolerated. Huh? Maybe you got a situation where you may even start your own business. Some of y'all got gifts in you, man. You've been having them. You know God been telling you, go do that thing, girl. Go do that thing, brother. Just go do it. And you're scared. But it's inside of you. You can start your own business. People ain't telling you when to go to the bathroom. They tell you when to go on vacation. You go when you want to. Because you're the boss under Jesus, right? So I'm just saying this because a lot of us have dreams and we're wondering, will they ever come to pass? I think about Joseph. That's a great example. Joseph had dreams. They were God-given dreams. It's not something he just came up with. God gave him these dreams and he couldn't keep his mouth shut. You know, he had to go tell his family. Every dream he had, oh, I see you guys bowing down to me. So I'm sure in his head he's thinking, wow, one of these days my whole family's going to bow down to me. That is really something. Now, see, what I think messed Joseph up was this. Daddy loved him more than the other 11. So he hooked him up with this robe, man, really nice robe. Because when I'm reading this, it's all colorful, it's long, beautiful like that. And I think where he messed up was when Daddy told him, go check on your brothers. And he went and rolled up on them in that robe. That was the wrong move to make, man. You know, and you know how when you get something new, you know how you guys, you get a little something new pants, a new something, you know, a little new pinky ring, a little something, new perfume, something. You know, you can't, how you going to walk straight? You can't walk straight with no stuff like that. You, there's no way you can walk like this. Not happening, man. When you get something new, it's a little, something, a little swagger comes in. You don't even try to do it. It's just, all you know, it's just one leg is dragging a little bit. Huh? And this ain't a brother thing. I'm telling you, man. I see y'all. We're rolling like this sometime. You get a little something new. Huh? So I'm just saying that's what messed him up. He rolled up on them brothers like that. You can't walk up.
Hi there. How are you?
Not in that robe. You got to have a little swag. So anyway, the brother said, you know what? He's out of here. They hooked him up with some Ishmaelites going past, ended up at Potiphar's house. Now see, at Potiphar's house, everything was going smooth because there was somebody, Joseph had this administrative gift. So he had a way to bring it that just made prosperity happen everywhere. He had the spirit of God in him and he had this administrative thing and wisdom going on up here. And he's dreaming, man. He's still seeing the family bowing down. So, again, I don't know about y'all if you work out in the field or what. But sometime when you work out in the field, you know, you get a little glow on your skin. Maybe not this much glow. But you get a little glow on your skin. And I'm sure he was a handsome brother. I'm sure he was. And Potiphar's wife could not leave him alone. Every day she messing with him. Finally, you know, she does the ultimate, you know, and he flips the script and says, you know, well, you know, she flips it and says he was hitting on me, but it stops the way around. So husband get home, you know, she tells him what happens, and then the husband said, well, I'm going to throw him in jail. So now here Joseph's in jail. In jail. This man got dreams of his family bowing down. I'm sure he didn't see him on the other side of the glass bowing down like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, let me out of here. You know, it wasn't that kind of dream. He had a dream of the family bowing down, but he's in jail now. What's going to happen with me in jail? But thank God, Pharaoh kicked out two of his guys and sent him to jail. Something went down. And so the baker and the wine taster in jail. And again, this is a cool thing about Joseph. These guys have dreams. Joseph lets them know right away. He said, I want you to know, I understand what y'all went through last night with your dream. But I want you to know this is God giving you the interpretation. I thought that was really cool, man. Because he could have just been like, yeah, so well, I interpret dreams. I know, just come in and sit down here. I tell me what you mean. He could have went there. Some of us get like that, right? If it's something we really can do good, and somebody goes, yeah, that was real good.
Y'all, thank you very much, you know.
But he wasn't like that, man. He was giving God all the glory. So the wine taster, he told him, 3 days, you're going to go back, and everything will be cool with you. So the baker thought, well, tell me what mine is. He said, well, 3 days. He said, yeah. You're going to go back. Yeah. And you're going to be hung. Oh, no. So, yeah, you might wish you hadn't even asked. But anyway, he told me, he said, wine taster, look, when you go back, let Pharaoh know I'm not supposed to be here. I'm just this, that. I was wrongfully accused. I'm not supposed to be in this place. Wine taster forgot all about him. So 2 years go by. Pharaoh has a dream. And then the wine taster said, oh, man, this guy in prison. He knows how they interpret dreams. Joseph does the same thing to him. He tells Pharaoh, he said, look, I'll tell you what dream is, but I want you to know this is God that's bringing this interpretation for you. Now, you think by the time you the highest man in the land, you want to show a little props. You know, yes, I can interpret dreams. You know, that may help you with a job opening or something, you know, like that. But he didn't care nothing about the job opening. All he cared about was giving God the glory for what he's getting ready to tell Pharaoh. I thought that was like, wow, man. And so, long story short, finally Joseph ends up being vice president of Egypt. And when you think about it, he was 17 when he got sold into slavery. By the time he became VP, he was 30. Okay? Now, there was 7 good years, right? So he's at least 37. And then I don't know if it's 1, 2, 3 years into the turnaround that, you know, his family come like that. But let's just say he was 40 by the time his dream came to pass. So I'm just saying, I prayed about it last night. And I'm, you know, God's supposed to do it for me this morning. And it's like, really? Come on, God. I mean, I really, you know, I've served you and everything. I've telling people about you. Somebody sneezed at the office, and I said, God bless you tonight. Okay. Well, are you going to hook me up? I mean, really. You know, that's how we are, man. It's a microwave praying. It's like we just want, ding, we can't wait. And look how long Joseph had to go through what he went through. That was a long time, 40, from 17 to 40, before his family come and bow down. So I'm not saying you know, some of y'all just, you know, 70, 80, 60, 50, whatever. You know, you got to wait till you're 120 for it to happen. I'm just saying, hopefully it'll happen before that. But, you know, you just have to wait. And then if it don't happen, to die is gain. The later on going to be better than anything. Some few things I'm waiting for to happen here. But if it don't happen, and I'm in heaven already, I ain't coming back to try to finish that thing. Forget that, man. Pass it on to my son. Y'all finish that one. But I mean, it's a good thing to kind of have a focus on this dream that God gave you for this thing he wants you to do. Just go ahead and do that. You can begin again financially. So, I'm not going to tell you something that hadn't happened to me. The Lord told me to get out of the Santana Group. I mean, we on the platinum album by now. And I'm like, really? Can't we work out a deal? I mean, can I stay here, still be saved or something, you know? And he just told me, he said, look, you need to get out of the group and go into ministry. And I had to go tell Bill Graham. Bill Graham, he did the Woodstock. Bill, I have never heard him speak English. Everything he says is 4-letter words. Every sentence has got 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 of them in it. I ain't never heard him say nothing. Hi there, how are you? He has never said, hi, how are you? He said, hi, bloop, 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 are you? That's how he rolled, like that. So I knew if I went and told Bill I had to get out of the group, this was not going to go down good. But I did. The Lord told me, you go and tell Bill you got to get out. So I went. I said, Bill, look, I'm a little shaking a little bit. I've got my hand back here. I said, Bill, look, the Lord is calling me into ministry. And I backed up in case he wanted to swat me or something. And that's the first time I heard him speak English.
He said, "Well, Leon, this is unexpected. I'm waiting."
And I said, "Well, look, I need to go and do this thing God's asked me." He said, "Well, look, Leon, why don't we double your income?" I said, "Ooh, double." I said, "Well, look, let me go home and pray about this one time. Make sure." So I went home prayed and prayed, convincing, trying to get it. Come on, Lord, can I stay in the room? That's double the money. So I went back and he said, "Oh, yeah." So I told Bill, I said, "Look, man, I got to get out." He said, "Well, what about triple your income?" I said, "Oh, man. Boy, this ain't right, Lord. What's up with this? This ain't right. Something wrong with this. This ain't the picture I got. I'm supposed to be knocked out over in the corner somewhere asking him this." And next thing I know, I'm going home praying. And Lord said, "Get out." So I go back. I said, "Bill, I've got to get out of the group." And he said, "Well, what about four times your income?" Now, see, personally, it's weird, but I really thought the Lord was holding out for the fourth one. Because I think I'd read about the five loaves of two fish. He finna multiply my money up in here, boy. It's going to be good, boy. Four times my money? That's a good testimony. That I was trying to quit, and he gave me four times, and I stayed. That's a great testimony. But no, the Lord had something else up his sleeve. So I didn't have to go all the way home this time. I just took my Bible, and I went out to my car. And I said, "Lord, I'm going to stick my hand in this Bible. And whatever scripture I come to, I'm going to take that as a word from you, O Lord." Now, see, you know your own Bible. So I'm trying to find something in the Old Testament. You know, I think Deuteronomy 28. That's what, see how many stars in the sky? That's how much money you're going to have. I didn't know my Bible's upside down. But I'm trying to figure it out right here. This is before all the dimples and the tabs and all that. This is plain just Bible. I just knew this was Deuteronomy 2. Oh, wow. And Judas went out and hung himself. I said, "I guess I'm supposed to get out this group." Duh. But you know, it's funny. I didn't mind it so much at that point, but because I didn't know what God wanted to do. I was just scared. All I knew, I whatever it is, I'm doing this in faith. I'm scared to death. My flesh, my spirit is saying, go ahead. But my flesh, because I knew, the first thing he told me to do, get rid of the Mercedes. I said, "Oh, Lord, come on. Can't I just keep something?" He said, "No, get rid of that." I said, "What then? Get a Honda." Honda? I can't go up to Smokey Robinson's house and no Honda. What is that about? But you know, it's funny when you're up here and everything is going good in your life. You know, you have a tendency sometimes to talk different. You know, you have a certain way with yourself and you talk different and you turn this way and you say something and you put endings on your words and you give that phony smile. Like that. And praise the Lord. Like that. When you got money, because you got a little piece of something, I don't know, extra money, some change, some overtime, some, you got a little something to just make you act funny. But when you down here, them prayers change down here. Huh? Ain't nothing down here but, "Help! Get me out of this mess! I'll never do it again! Just let me come down." And I heard Joyce Meyer said this the other day. She was saying that sometimes when she's kind of at a low, she said a lot of times she go to mailbox, and nothing there. And she gets into this low place, man. And she says somehow Jesus becomes closer and she feels closer to him in that low place
than when everything is going fine.
Right. And I bless God. I mean, you know, if you could stay up here and still be close, that's the great combination. But sometimes a dip has to happen to bring that close. And I don't wish dip on you, but I'm just saying if you already dipping, you know, grab all of him that you can get, because it really will be profitable for you spiritually. So I said all that to say that you can begin again financially. You can begin again. I've seen it happen, man, to me. And the Lord threw me into this Christian contemporary music thing. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't even know I was at the front of something new that was getting ready to happen. I didn't know that. Here, me, Amy is over here, and Michael W is over here, and a bunch of us, and we just, you know, all these people. And I said, okay, well, let's go. And we just started this music style. And so now it's become a thing. And we now, my son, he's in Toby Mac. They got the number one song out now. Gabriel's got In the Eye of the Storm. It just been out. So that's been rolling for a while now. So he got the baton now. I said, you go do your thing. So you just never know what you're going to start. You don't know what God is going to do in your life. Well, you just have to step out and go do that thing. You remember that Harrison Ford movie, one of them Raiders. But he had to, he was trying to get over to the cup of Jesus in a room. He was on top of a mountain, remember? And there was just a big, yeah, Indiana Jones thing. And there was a big chasm down there. So it was just, he couldn't find a way to get over there. So he was reading in a book, and it said, step first, and then the bridge would appear. I was like, is this Hollywood? We should have wrote this movie. It's like, it's fantastic. And as soon as he stepped and did that, the road appeared. Sometimes we got to step. I know y'all is scary. I know it is. It's the unknown. But faith is the assurance of things that we hope for. It is the evidence. Faith is the only evidence. It's the only evidence of things that we hope for. It's things that we haven't even seen yet. God is saying faith, which is to me is like air. Faith is like air. But in your mind, you have the dream. Nobody else knows this dream but you. It's like an empty lot you would pass and you see a sign and it says soon coming. In the mind of the person, they see a building over there. They see a Kmart. They see a Walmart over there. You don't know what's happening. All you see is a stick in the ground. So sometimes you just in your own head have to have that picture already. And you just have to step on that picture. And God will make things happen. And if he doesn't, he'll catch you. You ain't gonna die. You may lose a few dollars. So what? It's only money. It's only money. But that step could make the difference in somebody's life being changed. You getting enough money to be able to help somebody else that's having some issues.
Because I always hear people, well, you know, some of the churches go, well, you know, you don't really need, like, I pray just enough to be able to make my bills. That's all I want, God. Just give me enough. Because you're going to be coming soon, and so we don't need.
Well, we don't know what soon is. Right? We still may want to send our kids to college. Maybe you could send your grandkid to college. You know, you can't just, that's selfish. Just enough. Just enough? That ain't enough. Just enough. You have to pray for as much. I mean, if you could control it now, if you're going to trip out and get weird because you got money, now, I don't want you to have none. But I'm just saying, if you, you know, give it to Pastor Keith, he handle it. Huh? And he tried to do a mission or something? Yeah. Give it to him. You hit the lottery? Shoot, we pray over that money. We'll sanctify that lottery hit.
Well, I can't play the lottery because.
Yeah, but if some of y'all go play and hit, we'll take some of that. Thank you very much. We ain't that religious. Yeah. So I'm just saying, I know I'm probably going, this is not probably too good for this church. But anyway, I was not going around. See, y'all ain't going to see me tomorrow. You got to talk to Pastor Keith. What did Leon mean you can go get lottery tickets? I don't know about it. They hit anything about that in the Bible. So I'm stopping that right now. Okay, bam. All right. So all I'm trying to get the point over is that you can begin again financially. Turn to somebody and say, you can begin again. Last one. You can begin again romantically. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. This could be a restoration of soul for you. Huh? Some of y'all praying for somebody. I know you praying. I know you're trying to keep it cool. Well, you know, if God brings somebody, fine. If he doesn't bring anybody, that's fine. It's okay for me. It don't matter what. God wants to do it. He'll bring it. If he doesn't want to bring it, okay, that's all right. But some of y'all really want somebody. You're afraid to say it. I can't say, you know, I'm praying that God would bring me that godly man, that godly woman. Just say it. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, that's a great one. Knock, the door shall be open to you. Well, if even God wants anything, you already worked it out with God. He wants you to have it. He wants you to have her. So that's fine. Just go ahead and say it. So you say, well, man, you know, look, I got five kids. Five kids. Who gonna want somebody with five kids? Nobody want nobody with five kids. Do you know there's somebody down at the next church of God praying for a woman with five kids? You know why? Because maybe something biologically wrong with him. He can't handle kids. You say, well, you know, that nice single girlfriend. You know, she's the single one. Oh, she's got everything going on. Hey, you got it going on. Serious. If he marry you, he gets you and a foster home ministry, too. You're two for one. You more than love. Hello, that little single girl. She ain't got nothing. You got five kids and some grandkids. You got some little ones coming returning now. They coming back, boomerang, here they come. I'm just saying to you, don't let that hang you up. We got a friend, Javier. He's in Newport Beach, runs the Joe's Crab Shack there. And we go visit every once in a while. He told me the other day, he said, man, he said, my prayer came true. I said, what? He said, man, I went to Colombia. I said, yeah. He said, I found me a woman in Colombia, good Christian woman. I said, serious? He said, yeah. She got six kids. Six! I didn't say that. I mean, I know you saw my eyes go like this. But, you know, I didn't say that. But, you know, six kids and a grand, you know, a mother-in-law. So I was like, okay. And so they now, they married. They done had their seventh child now. He told me, he said, when I was a bachelor, I could not keep my refrigerator full of food. He said, the fridge now, full of food. With seven kids and a mother-in-law. It's just fantastic what God can do.
Okay, so you say, okay, Leon, that sounds like great philosophy. Give me a scripture on that, my brother.
Book of Luke.
No.
Book of Ruth.
I'm working on a book now, and it's the book of Luke. So that just naturally comes out.
But Ruth, go to that book. Ruth, man, there's some stuff in there, man. There's, especially if you read in the easy reading version or something, or the Message, it sounds like the Kardashians. Serious. It's some stuff up in there, man. It's like, what? What? Because, you know, they all went, Naomi, everybody, they went to Moab to try to just, you know, they heard about finances and stuff. All the men died. So Ruth, when Naomi was coming back, Ruth said, well, I'll go with you. You know, wherever you're going, that's where I want to go. Whatever you eat, that's what I eat. Whoever you praying to, that's what I want to pray to. Wherever you die, that's where I want to die with you, wherever that is. And Naomi just kept trying to go, no, girl, you go back. She said, no, I'm coming with you. So they got back. Over to Naomi's neighborhood, and they were just hanging out. And so finally, I think Naomi probably just thought, Ruth, this is really boring. You know, you still got so much life in you left. Why don't you go and find your job or something? And so she did. She found her job, and she was, you know, gleaning and going on. She was doing a little something. And then there's a guy, Boaz, that was kind of watching. He said, who is that lady? He said, oh, that's Ruth. Oh, I heard about Ruth. She came, left her country, came all over here to follow Naomi. Oh, what a nice lady. I tell you what, why don't you drop a little extra for her when you're gleaning? Just drop a little extra. So, man, Ruth went home with two Santa's bags worth of stuff. And Naomi said, where you get that? He said, well, I was in this field, and Boaz. She said, Boaz, that was my husband's relative, girl. He said, how did he look? He said, well, he's got a great heart. He's just, you know, a little something on the side, not too much on the top. But anyway, nice guy. Really nice guy. So right away, Naomi said, I'm going to hook you up. That's what she said. And I'm telling you, man, you read this in Ruth, you think I'm kidding. This is in the book of Ruth, what I'm telling you. And she told, he said, look, this is what I want you to do, girl. Look, I want you to go take a shower, huh? Get all cleaned up. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to clip them toenails. You may want to shave off that bunion too, right over there, girl. Uh-huh. And put paint on it, little paint thing like that. And then you go get you some nice little something, girl. Uh-huh. Get you a little something, spray. Mm-hmm. Like that. And then you go, and then you just, wherever he dropped, after you get through the harvest, you just slide yourself right by his feet. Now, to me, that sounds like a hit. Kardashians, I'm telling you, man. It's funny to read this in this book. But the Lord always finds a way to make stuff relatable. That's what I love about him. He just can find a way to do it. And so she, you know, and finally he rustles around. Who is that? And he said, oh, it's me. He said, and then, you know, she said to him, she said, I am available for marriage. That's a hit. It's hard to explain in counseling. Huh? Right, Pastor Keith? That's hard to explain in counseling. You ain't supposed to be hidden. What's up? But you know that. It's just that what went down. So anyway, and it could be a one-time thing. I'm sure in counseling would tell you, well, that was one occasion. Well, for the most part. Anyway, it may not even be. But I'm just saying, that's exactly what went down. So long story short, they get married. And their first son, Obed is the father of Jesse. Jesse, father of King David. Wow. A Moabite woman. I thought that line had to be Israeli. Strictly. For King David to come out of that family line? That's something to think about. God just got, he's got a way to hook you up. You don't even know what the hookup's going to be. You don't know what nationality is or what's going on.
Well, you know, I'm praying for this guy, but, you know, he's got to be 6'3", and he's got to have a Ford F-150 with a lift kit.
No, you can't do that. You got to pray whatever God, who he wants you to have. That's the one. They could be another nationality.
I know you're saying, God forbid.
No, but really, they could be a whole nother, somebody from another country. And God's got you hooked up. Case in point. And this is why I always tell singles. If you stay on the road of your calling, you will eventually intersect the person of your prayers. Okay? So you stay on whatever God told you to do. You do that. And there's a hookup. I don't know the other way to say it. There's a corner that you will come to. What you're praying about, there's a corner where that will happen. And it's not just romance. It's also for business. I'm sure this church, I'm sure this came from out of something that was strange or weird or different. All of a sudden, here you are, you know. But God caused a hookup. There was a corner that happened. He was praying. Pastor Keith praying. Bam! There's a hookup that happened. So I'm saying this is what happened to me. I'm on this cruise, Cornelia Foster Homes. I'm out with them trying to help them to, you know, we could talk about how to take Cornelia to the next level. And so second day, we're not doing any business. And I'm like bored, man, single man. And I found a piano, and these windows right by the piano, just beautiful. There's dolphins is jumping out like this, and the birds is flying by just at the right time, and people all hugged up, and they passing with, you know, a little umbrella drink and all that kind of stuff. You know, coolers are going in the background. It's like, oh, this is miserable for a single man to be on this trip. Anyway, so I just prayed a little prayer. I said, surprise me. That's a good prayer, man. That's a legitimate prayer, baby. I'm telling you. I said, and then I'm just playing, doing my thing. And then this guy, Filipino guy, came and kind of came over next to me, and he, good voice, man, could sing and everything. I said, wow. He just joined right in. He didn't even know the song. He just went, yeah, right back in. And we just singing along. And I whispered back to the Lord, I said, Lord, not that kind of surprise. Somebody without Old Spice, all right? Anyway, but nice guy. We had fun together. We just talking. Then all of a sudden, here comes this girl walking down, coming toward the piano. And to me, in my cartoon mind, she used to kind of look like she was in slow motion. You know, she was kind of like this. Yeah. Like that. And so she got up close, and I was looking over here because, you know, I was saying, man, I wonder if he's seeing what I'm seeing. And come to find, they sit down next to each other, and they brother and sister. I said, oh, wow. Oh, man. I said, it's on now. Brother and sister. So anyway, we've been hooked, man, since 94. This is just a beautiful thing. It's a long time for musicians. I tell you, musicians, even Christian musicians, we got issues. But anyway, I want you to meet my lovely wife, Renee Petillo. Whole nother culture. I'm thinking, surprise me, I'm thinking somebody else. Serious. And I didn't know if she knew anything about some chicken, you know, and some greens, you know. I knew she had the fish down. I knew she knew that one. And but it's just funny now. We go out to dinner, and I'm eating the fish. She's eating the chicken. It's the weirdest thing. But all I'm saying is that you can begin again romantically. Some of you praying, you say, Lord, I just, you know. And some of you saying, well, I don't really need the guy right now. I just need a Band-Aid. You know, just give me somebody in the meantime while I'm waiting. While I'm praying and waiting for God. Band-Aid, please. I'm telling you, man, that's dangerous stuff, man. It is. You know, because at some point you got to take that Band-Aid off. Huh? And you're going to rip off scab, hair, and skin. You know, and then that day here with you out hanging out with Ishmael. You, Ishmael, hey, that ain't the deal. You got Isaac. As soon as Isaac come, he smell Band-Aid. He's out of there. Right? You won't be smelling like Band-Aid when Isaac come. So I'm just saying, you know, I just want to be over here, and, you know, I'll find him over here in this place. Over here. Hey, hello. Hey. I'm telling you, nutcases over there, man. I'm not saying you can't go come to Vegas like that and hang. I'm just saying, but bring somebody with you. Bring another sister. Bring another brother with you. Because somebody got to get you back. Huh? When one of you go, wow! The other one got to say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Somebody got to have some sense. Because Vegas, man, I'm telling you, you got to be strong to hang in that spot. We got a lot of sipping saints, and, you know, we got, you know, and all of that. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of stuff going on down there. You got to have somebody got your back. So in case you, somebody got you back here, man, saying, hey, stop tripping. Straighten up. Let's go back to the hotel. Come on, like that. So, yeah. So I'm just saying you can have fun, but you can't. Those kind of, you know, I back in the day I had kids. We would rather put perfume in our tennis shoes than to wash them. You know, and that's what you're gonna smell like when Isaac comes. You gonna smell. That's a smell, man. That's out this world. Perfume, that's the funkiest thing you ever smelled in your life. It's that perfume with that funk from them shoes. There ain't, it don't even have a zip code for that smell. So I'm just saying, you know, it's not easy, but if you stay on the road of your calling, if whatever God has asked you, just stay on that road, okay? Then God will cause the intersection. You can begin again romantically. Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valleys and the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. You are all that we need. And we know through you, Lord, that you're going to provide exactly what we should be, how we should be, what we need to do with our lives. You are our source. You are the centerpiece of life. Why would you set up this planet where the earth is going around the sun? It's obvious in the universe, Lord. If we just look up, we keep thinking the sun is rising, the sun is setting. The sun is not moving. We're the ones moving. We're so arrogant. We think we're all that. But Lord, unless we revolve around you, everything is out of order. So Lord, I pray there may be somebody here today that's just saying, Lord, I really want to begin again. If somebody would just ask me, I would begin again. I would get off of this attitude I have. I would get off of this fence I've been sitting on. And I would go with you. I would be hot for you, Lord. With every head bowed, I know there just may be somebody that wants to say to Jesus today, yes, Lord, I accept the blood that you shed on Calvary. Yes, Lord, I want to get up off of my procrastination and start having a life, a real life. So I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to trick you in any way. But if you want prayer, I want you to just raise your hand. I want you to wave it to me right now. Where every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Just wave it to me and say, brother, yes, me. I need to begin again. I need to get my life on the right foundation. I see you. See you. See you over here. Good. See you here. Good. See you here. Lord said all we needed to do was to confess, and he would forgive. So for those that raised their hand, I want everybody in the room to pray this prayer to assist these that raised their hand. Let's do it now. Lord Jesus, thank you for not giving up on me. I ask today that you would take the blood that you shed on Calvary. Wash me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Fill me with new life. Fill me with new direction. Who the Son sets free is truly free indeed. Today, I will begin again. I will begin again today because of you. Any man that is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. Begin, my friend. Begin today. Lord, thank you for these lives. May they never be the same. For those of us that are sitting by these that have made such a bold step, if we felt that arm go up, Lord, may we be an assistant to this new road that they will travel. You said the path of the righteous is as the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. We ask for fullness of life. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.